Welcome to WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings. I'm Mark Gillespie. Support for WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings comes from Kilhoman, Islay's Farm Distillery. Members of our global WhiskeyCast community come together each month via Skype to become part of a virtual tasting panel. Their mission, to nose and taste so-called accessible whiskeys, the ones you'll find at most bars or retailers, and you probably even have at home. These aren't the expensive rare whiskeys that are out of reach for most whiskey lovers. The goal is to give you and other whiskey fans a way to share your passion with the world. Later on, I'll tell you how you can become part of the tasting panel for a future episode. We'll meet this month's tasting panel and get started right after this.
Hello, I'm John McClellan, Distillery Manager at Kilhoman, which is Islay's youngest distillery. We're proud to bring you this episode of WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings. If you can make it to Islay, we'd love to see you at the distillery. But until then, you can visit us on the web at kilhomandistillery.com or get a taste of Islay with a dram of Kilhoman from Islay's Farm Distillery.
Let's meet this month's panel. We'll start off with Christopher Winters, based in Zionsville, Indiana. Christopher, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for the offer. I'm about 10 years now into whiskey. I first started with Canadian Club, actually drinking Manhattans. When I came back from podiatry school in Chicago and came back to Indianapolis, my father drank Jack Daniels. Tried that, didn't like that. I'd never drank hard spirits. I just drank beer and wine. He said I had to have a man's drink, so I knew I liked Manhattan. So we tried that, and then a few years later, got into Scotch, and that's my preference now, is to drink Scotch whiskey. I've got a pretty significant collection, which I enjoy with my friends, and then probably Irish would be my second, and Canadian would be my third, and bourbon, not my favorite, but I've had a few that I like. So that's my history with whiskey.
Welcome, Christopher. Thank you for joining us. Lex Tomaszewski is in the Cleveland area. Lex, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, hi, Mark, and welcome to all the other participants. Thanks for the invitation. I've had a passion for all things, I guess, Scotland, so that would be whiskey and golf. I'm a much better whiskey drinker than I'm a golfer, so I'll focus on that. So I've got a moderate collection, probably about 12, 15 bottles, ranging from blends to single malts to Kentucky bourbons. Unlike my mother-in-law, who has been a Jack Daniels ardent fan for 20 years and sticks to one thing, I like a little bit of variety. So I look just to try different expressions, and this tasting is a great opportunity to do that. So thanks again for having me.
Glad to have you. And personally, I find I play golf a little better after I start drinking whiskey. Now, you met our next two participants, if you were listening to the Fagiel series in 2010, because I ran into them on Islay. And though they're not together today, they are together back in the States now, Rob Mark and Jill Ann Stoley. And Rob, let's start off with you all the way out in Arizona on business today.
Hi, Mark. Glad to be here. I started out drinking whiskey, oh gosh, almost 20 years ago. Started with Jim Beam and then switched to single malts. And my passion really runs towards Brora. I've been collecting that over the last couple of years. And most of the time, I have a nice whiskey collection that I share with Jill Ann.
And Jill Ann, I'm sure you share your whiskey collection with Rob?
Yes. It goes both ways.
You have separate whiskey collections, right?
Well, they're all together in one cabinet, but we know who bought what. So.
And tell us about yourself, Jillian.
I'm originally from Iowa, and I recently moved back from Germany. I was exploring the wine culture there in Germany, the Rheingau, Rheinhessen, and also Alsatian wines, crossing the border into France. And I was introducing Rob to those wines when I decided that we could do a little trade of sorts, and he could teach me about whiskey. And I actually got hooked on how much there was to learn about whiskey, how similar it was to wine, but also how much further you could take the hobby. I'm a big fan of the peaty whiskeys. I think that I really find myself gravitating toward anything produced on Islay.
And once again, that's where I ran into you, too. And we will start off with a peaty whiskey, but it's not an Islay. We're going to start off with the Ardmore Traditional. And I think you all have your bottles of that open now, so if you want to pour a glass of it. Ardmore is one of those rare peated Highland whiskies that The distillery is out near Aberdeen, just to the northwest of the Aberdeen area. And it is a sister distillery to Laphroaig in many ways. And you'll also find Ardmore in the Teacher's Blend. It's one of the key components of that blend. So if we all have our glasses poured, I'm going to leave the tasting notes up to you for now, from this point on. And let's go ahead and nose it. Tell me what you think of the nose, and just feel free to jump in.
Definitely get the wood. And a little bit of the smoke. It's light, but it's there.
I do like the light, peaty, smoky character of this whiskey on the nose.
Is there anything on Islay that you could compare that to? Perhaps, say, a Bunehaven?
Yeah, I do think that's a very good comparison.
In terms of the peatiness only?
I think I would compare it less to a Bunehaven and more to like a New Make Kalila or a New Make Lagavulin, because it doesn't have the sherry notes that you get off of Bunehaven after it's been sitting in the wood for a few years.
Okay. Lex?
Yeah, no, I'd agree. It's not overpowering, which is nice.
Now, we haven't tried this with water yet. I want you to go ahead and taste it first without water, and then we'll add a little bit of water in, and we'll try it both ways. So now that we've got the nose, go ahead and take a taste, and let's see what we think. While they're tasting, I'll explain the procedure for how we're going to score this. Each of the four panelists will rate this whiskey and our others on a scale of 0 to 5, with 5 being the best, and we do give half-point ratings. To eliminate any peer influence in the process, what they're going to do is email me their scores at the end of the tasting. I'll take the scores, average them together, and we'll come up with an average from there. That way, no one individual can have too much influence on the process, and we'll come up with a rating for the group as a whole on this one. So now that you've had a chance to do a little bit of tasting here, what do we think of the Ardmore?
I like it. Like Jill, I tend to like the Islas, the smokiers, and this definitely is like this. In fact, I served this to my Scotch Drinkers Book Club friends, and they all we drink it blind, and they all thought it was an Isla. But I love the finish on this. It's very warming. On a nice cool day, I think this is a good dram with a nice long finish, and you get that smoke all the way down.
Any other notes?
I'm really enjoying this one. I didn't know what to expect. I've never had Ardmore before, but I get a little bit of candied fruit, at least for my palate. It's very agreeable. It's a nice fireplace whiskey for a winter evening.
Lex?
Still tasting, very warm and finished, and it long and lingers, which is very nice.
Do you get any specific tasting notes out of this one, or any flavors that you're finding in this one?
Nothing yet.
Rob?
It's a bit light for my taste. I taste a little bit of light wood, like a balsa or a birch. But there isn't a whole lot there to me. The finish is real light. Almost a little salty mouthfeel, kind of like a Talisker, but without the turn it up to 11 feeling that I get with a lot of Taliskers.
Any thoughts yet, Lex?
Little bit of peat, little bit of smoke, dried fruits as well.
Now let's try it with just a few drops of water, see if that changes things. I have a feeling Rob's going to probably not like it even more after putting a little bit of water into it. If it was light without water, it's going to be even lighter with water. Any difference on the nose?
Yeah, it definitely loses something on the nose.
It does. It lightens it up a lot. Weak.
Yeah. Which makes sense, because this is a 46%. I think if this was a cask strength, at least to my nose, I think a cask strength typically with water opens up more.
Now, when I first nosed it without water, I got a big blast of acetone. Not unpleasant, but just that first note off the bottle. similarly, as soon as I put water in here, I got a big burst of the essence of what I had tasting it without the water, but that has faded away, and nosing it now, there's almost nothing there.
Lex?
Yeah, I'm struggling to find anything from a nose.
Okay, let's see if anything survived in the taste.
I think it did. I think we need to give it a little bit more time, too. I think as I'm nosing it and now tasting it more, I'm getting a little bit of fruit. I don't know if it's apricot, or I think somebody said dried fruit. I think that's maybe raisins. I get a little bit more on the taste now.
Yeah, this is Lux. I would agree. It's a little bit stronger now, the dried fruits.
And the other thing you can also do here is once we go on to the other whiskeys, you can put this glass aside and then come back and taste it again in a few minutes and see if there's any change. Jill-Ann, any change with water?
I think that it has thinned out a little bit as far as both the nose and the taste, but I still find it to be very agreeable and easy drinking whiskey. It's something that I could sit down with and not feel overpowered by the experience. If I was busy doing something else, this would be a nice light dram to have next to me.
Rob?
It's actually not bad. I kind of get like a peach taffy note, and I'm getting a little bit of maybe even a little bit of sulfur, but it's good. I'm interested to see how it's going to last though over the next 10 or 15 minutes.
Okay, well, let's write down preliminary scores, and then if you want to, you can come back and adjust these later on. And we'll move on to one of the more popular blends out there, and one of the things we've done with WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings is try to get at least one blended whiskey into each panel, just whether it's blind or tasting or not as a surprise, but to try to put blends up against single malts and see where they do well and where they come up short at times, and just to get some good comparisons here. The one we're tasting this time around is probably one of the most widely sold within Scotland. It is the famous grouse, the basic famous grouse blended scotch. That's bottled at 40% ABV. And if we have our glasses ready, let's go for it and see what we get on the nose for the grouse.
I'm not pulling anything specific out of this one.
Is it because everything's working together, or is it because there's nothing there?
I think that everything's working together, but in a very understated way. I don't think that this would be whiskey that somebody who's really into peat or really into smoke would enjoy, because it is a very mild nose.
So everything's working in balance on this one.
Yes.
Okay.
I would agree with Jill-Ann. It's tough to pick out individual notes. I get maybe a little bit of sulfur, maybe a little bit of a hot tire in the sun, not the rubbery kind of smell, but the kind of sulfury, rubbery sort of smell.
What did you think?
I think the nose is, I don't know if it's floral, heathery, I don't know if it's medicinal.
Medicinal is a good word. That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I think that's what I get on the nose, which is interesting because usually I drink this on the rocks, and I'm not sure if I've ever, you know, properly nosed it and tasted it this way. So this is good.
Lex?
I think this is definitely a fuller nose than the Ardmore. Picking up some slight floral notes and stuff. But like, I agree with the rest of the panel. It's kind of hard to differentiate just because it's just a full smell.
What kind of floral notes are you picking up? Anything come to mind?
I'm not a gardener, so no.
Fair enough.
I'm not getting the floral, but with a real deep nosing, I get almost like light tobacco, like a light Egyptian tobacco note.
Okay.
I'm pulling some of the same thing out of that. I'm starting to get a little bit of pipe smoke.
Interesting.
Yeah,
Christopher,
yeah.
Anything coming out for you?
I'm still sticking with the floral, maybe a very light scented rose. Again, my neighbor has some roses. I'm not an expert gardener, but I mean, it's not a carnation, it's not a lilac, but maybe a little bit of rose petal in that.
Okay, let's go ahead and taste it. Again, we're tasting without water first, and then we'll add a few drops in.
That's very nicely balanced.
It has a very pleasant sweet note to it.
Yeah.
It is well balanced. I think the malt comes through on the taste.
Lex?
It's a nice, well-rounded flavor in your mouth. Shorter finish than the Ardmore. Frankly, leaves me longing for a little bit more here.
Is it too short for you, or did it just fade away completely?
It lasts a little bit, but not as long as the Ardmore.
Okay.
For me, it had a nice mouthfeel, but now that it's faded away, I'm getting a little bit of bitterness on the aftertaste.
I get that, too.
It's a longer finish, actually, than I expected from this. Not getting the bitterness, though. It's not an unpleasant finish.
I would like...
Lex? Go ahead, Jillian.
I would liken the finish to me to chewing on a coffee bean. I get that bitterness right away.
Lex, any other thoughts?
A little bit of butter, a little bit of toffee in there, perhaps. Again, you know, I'm trying to savor that finish, but it's short to medium range, so it's kind of hard.
I get that toffee. I also get a little bit of pipe tobacco.
And go ahead and add some water. This should be interesting, since most blends are designed, in theory, to at least be drunk with ice or water or mixed with something. So this should be an interesting comparison.
The light pipe tobacco really stands out now to me.
I think I do get that now. I never would have thought that from this blend, but I do see that now in the nose with water.
It sweetened the nose a lot for me.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too.
It brings it more in line with what I was tasting on the first sip. I didn't get it on the nose, but then I felt it in the mouth when I was tasting it. But now this is the water has brought that more in line with those original tastes.
I'm also getting a real high note, very faint, almost like a menthol or a peppermint candy.
Lex?
Yeah, I would agree with that. The nose opens up, really opens up with the water. Still a little bit of floral notes, kind of heatherish.
It's like a perfume. It really is. It's very pleasant.
Do you like it better with water or without?
I like it with water much better, which makes sense because I like it on the rocks usually.
This is Lex. I would agree with water.
Yeah, I like the nose better with water. We'll see how it tastes.
Go ahead.
Very smooth.
Very easy drinking, right. Not as much finish. But again, it's a blend, and I think that's what it's designed for.
For me, the finish is lasting longer with water, but that's not an entirely good thing.
Okay, Lex?
Yeah, I would agree. The water kind of dulls the finish, but I'm getting more, you know, that fruit taste, you know, raisins and plums kind of coming out.
To me, it's definitely a shorter finish, but it's very smooth. It reminds me of a Space Eye, which is interesting because I think it has, you know, Highland Park, Macallan in it.
Among others, yeah.
Right.
So let's go ahead and we'll write down the scores preliminarily for the famous grouse. And once again, you can come back to that in a few minutes if you'd like. And we'll come across the Atlantic for a change of pace and try Blanton's Bourbon. This is the original single-barrel bourbon that was created by the legendary Elmer T. Lee back in the 80s and was the first single-barrel bourbon to really be put out on the market and is still the flagship today among single-barrel bourbons. So let's give this one a try. This should be a completely different experience compared to the other two. So in nosing it, what do we think of Blanton's?
It's a bourbon.
A wonderful full nose with this one.
But a totally different character. There's a lot more, I get a lot more honey. I get a lot more light green grassy notes than I did with either of the Scotch whiskies.
Which would be expected. It's a bit younger in some cases, but also just the use of the new charred oak barrels can make a difference there too as well.
Well, I think the mash bill too. I mean, you're not talking about just malt and barley. There's
right.
There's a whole lot of other grains that go into the Blanton's.
Yeah, it's mostly corn with a little bit of rye, a little bit of barley, and maybe a little bit of wheat. That mash bill is pretty secret, so we're not quite sure what goes in there, but we know it's primarily corn, at least. Lex, what do you think of this one?
Definitely a fuller, sweeter nose. Picking up some cinnamon and some honey in there.
Christopher?
I'm getting citrus.
I do get a little of this.
You know, orange or tangerine, one of those orange fruits. Not an unpleasant smell for me, considering I'm not typically a bourbon drinker.
Yeah, I get a little bit of orange peel, maybe a little more peel mm-hmm. than juice, but it's nice.
Well, let's go ahead and taste it then.
I get honey and marzipan with this.
Interesting.
A lot of tannin. I get very dry mouthfeel.
This is Lex. I'm picking up on those tannins as well.
Getting anything else out of it?
Just a lot of sweetness. Again, honey, cinnamon. Starting to get that orange. Orange is kind of marmalade-ish taste.
Rob?
No, I taste some dried grain notes. I don't know anybody's ever been on a farm and been in a next to a silo with dried wheat or dried rye. I get a lot of essence of that. And maybe just the smallest touch of molasses. A little sweetness, but not a sugary sweetness. More of a caramely molasses type sweetness.
Yeah, not quite a Christmas cake, but it gets... I'm getting maybe bananas or figs. I mean, it's pleasant. I'm surprised, actually.
Now, there may be some individual variations between the bottles that you guys are drinking from because it is a single barrel bourbon, but since they're all picked to the same profile, it shouldn't be that big a difference here. But I did want to make that point. But let's add a little bit of water and see what happens.
Has nice legs, good profile in the glass.
I think the water really brings out some of the rye notes. I get a coppery nose to it now.
That's it. That's what it is. Yeah, a little bit of that.
Jillian?
I can see where they're getting the copper. I think for me that translates as the marzipan note I was talking about. I get a lot of almond in there, but raw almond, processed almond.
Lex?
The water really opens it up. I'm getting kind of like an apple cider kind of notes to it. Again, kind of the vanilla notes as well.
feel free to go ahead and taste it, and let's see what the differences are there.
I'm getting a little more citrus peel now.
I get citrus peel and maybe a little bit of clove oil, that kind of fiery mouthfeel.
Right, a little bit of spice, a little bit of fruit, which reminds me of the, you know, of the Christmas cake, which I think marzipan, I think it has that in there.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting the citrus. This is Lex. I'm getting the citrus as well.
I'm surprised it's not, I don't get too much vanilla from this, which I thought I would.
Any other surprises?
The mouthfeel on this, and this is Rob, the mouthfeel on this is a very slow fade, but it seems consistent throughout. That's something that I noticed was different with Ardmore and the Famous Grouse, is their mouthfeel's changed a lot, and their finish has changed a lot for me as time went on. But this just kind of whispers off into the distance.
I would agree with that. That's well said. It's still with me 2-3 minutes later, and it has not changed.
Yeah, this is Lux. I'm getting a nice warming sensation, not too much, you know, similar to what we kind of had with the Ardmore as well, which is nice, lasting.
Jillian, you're being quiet.
I'm contemplating what I'm tasting here. I really am not experiencing a whole lot of difference with the water. It's just I'm taking it down a notch. I am getting more citrus peel, as I said, but aside from that, I'm getting all of the same notes.
Do we like it better with water or without?
I prefer it without. It's more round to me. It fills my mouth with flavor, whereas with the water, as I said, it was taking it down a notch, so I wasn't getting that fullness.
This is Lex. I completely agree with Joanne. It loses a lot with the water.
I would disagree. I don't think it loses a lot with the water. I think I probably prefer it without water. But I think it's perfectly fine with water, and it doesn't lose anything. I think it gains that longer finish, I think, with the water.
I think I'd agree with Chris. I wouldn't say that it's any worse with the water. I'd say it's good but different. And I do really like that long, smooth finish with the water.
It's a good sipping whiskey.
I would agree.
On that point, let's go ahead and score the Blantons. And then if you want to take a few seconds here and go back and take another crack at the Ardmore and the Famous Grouse and just see if there's been any changes over the last few minutes, what I'm going to ask you to do is, while we take a short pause, go ahead and email me your scores. I'll calculate the scores up, and we'll come back with our final numbers for this month's episode. You're listening to WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings. When the legends of whiskey have something to say, you'll hear it each week on WhiskeyCast.
Us Baptist just makes it for municipal purposes only. I keep a cough all the time.
From Kentucky to Scotland.
Sludge! Sludge! Sludge!
And everywhere in between.
What's Daddy's favorite whiskey?
Our Big.
It's an award winner. It's gone out of my head.
With the latest on new releases, whiskey events from around the world, tasting notes, and surprises along the way.
When you leave here today, you will all be feeling and looking 5 years younger. I come here twice each day. I'm 127.
I'm Mark Gillespie. Join us each week for the best in cask strength conversation and become part of our worldwide community of whiskey lovers. You can download WhiskeyCast at the iTunes Music Store or at WhiskeyCast.com. Welcome back to WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings. We have the scores in from our panel now, and we have a clear winner and a tie.
And the tie came rather surprisingly for a bunch of Scotch drinkers. The Ardmore and the Famous Grouse tied with an average score of 3.125 each, or 3 1/8, essentially. And Blanton's won with a score of 4 1/4.
Wow.
Does this come as a surprise to any of you?
It does. It does to me. I am very surprised that I rated the Blanton's highly. And, from a bunch of Scotch drinkers, as you said. So it was well-deserved.
It doesn't surprise me. I know where my personal tastes run, and while I'm a fan of the Islay whiskeys, I also have a soft spot for the bourbons. So it follows with my own tastes.
Lex?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if being down in Lexington recently for work has rubbed off on me, but yeah, I definitely, my rating criteria, if I walked into a bar, which of these three am I going to order? I went with the Blanton's. It's a nice, well-rounded bourbon that definitely has a satisfying finish.
I think Christopher's dog agrees with you on this.
Sorry.
So what else did, Rob, you haven't weighed in yet. What did you think here?
Well, I'm a fan of the Blanton's. I find that a lot of bourbons around the 6 to 8 year mark tend to suit my personal tastes, a little more complex. A lot of young, lightly peated Scotch whiskies and a lot of blends just don't have the same body that I look for. I tend to go more towards Islay's. I tend to go more towards something that spent some time in a sherry butt.
Do you think any of these scores might have been different if we'd done this with a blind tasting?
No, I don't.
I think for me that how I score them was very consistent with my own tastes. So I don't think knowing what it was would have changed that.
I don't think my scores would have changed, but I don't know offhand, never having tasted either of them seriously, I don't know I would have been able to tell the Famous Grouse from the Ardmore and vice versa.
Interesting. Lex?
I don't think a blind, much like Jillian mentioned, my ratings or my scores suited my personal taste profile. I think each one had something different, but again, at the end, it was the well-roundedness of the blends that scored the highest for me.
Rob, I think you were about to say something when we jumped in. What were you going to say?
Well, I actually went back and retasted the Famous Grouse and the Ardmore now that they've had some time to breathe, and I was amazed at how nice and light the Ardmore was and how well it compared to like a new make Kalila or a new make Lagavulin. I think that actually with water and some time, it stood up very well.
Interesting.
So you've had the new make Kalila and Lagavulin?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't, but I can see that, how you would say that.
When we went to Fage Eel in 2010, that was one of some of the flights that they had on their tastings was new make. And it's tough. If you haven't ever had an Islay new make, it's really tough to kind of conceptualize what it would taste like. They're very raw, but the peat is definitely there. And Ardmore's nowhere near that raw. It's much more refined, but I get that same kind of essence.
What did we learn?
That I shouldn't diss the bourbons all the time. I should expand my horizons into Kentucky. And I don't live that far from Kentucky.
I need to go easy on the blends, clearly, because I enjoy the Famous Grouse, so...
Good.
Lex, what did you learn?
I think for me it just reaffirmed, my personal taste profile. I like, the blends brought, but I also, respect, what a blend brings, and also the single malt. I think each one had some unique characteristics. It follows suit with what the differences that I like. So I thought that was good.
Rob?
I agree with Jillian. For under $20, I think the Famous Grouse seems like a solid blend. And while I don't know that I'd routinely stock it for myself, if I were going to be entertaining, I'd probably pick up a bottle.
I think you'd surprise a lot of people too, because not a lot of people know, I think, about the Famous Grouse. People know, Dewar's and Johnny Walker, But if you have this, I think it's a good conversation piece and good way to introduce people to other blended Scotch whiskies.
Well, with that, I want to thank all of you for taking part in this month's panel. I know that our listeners appreciate the sacrifices and the effort that you put forth over the last hour or so to taste these whiskies for us. I'm glad you were able to take part, and I hope you guys had fun.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. This was great.
Once again, our panelists this month, Jill Ann Stolevic, Rob Mark, Lex Tomaszewski, and Christopher Winters. Now, if you'd like to be part of an upcoming panel, all you have to do is email me. My address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and I'll get back to you with more details. Of course, you can always catch up on the latest whiskey news and interviews each week on WhiskeyCast, and become part of our global community of whiskey lovers through the WhiskeyCast Facebook page and our website at whiskeycast.com. Support for WhiskeyCast virtual tastings comes from Kilhoman, Islay's Farm Distillery, on the web at kilhomandistillery.com. WhiskeyCast virtual tastings is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2011, and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.